changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
I've shared many times that I'm getting very much into celebrity biographies, and I finished probably 8 or 9 in the last few weeks. I listen to them on audio. I mean, it's the first thing I'm doing when I get out of bed in the morning, and then while I'm walking Teddy, and throughout the day, if I'm not needing to focus, I'm listening. And while I'm cooking or whatever, I'm listening to these audiobooks. And now I'm listening to the one on Bruce Lee. And I thought I knew a lot about Bruce Lee. Turns out I didn't really all that much. And there is a part in the story where things really, really begin to change. Bruce Lee was actually born and raised a very privileged young man in Hong Kong, wealthy. Even in Hong Kong. And at the age of 6, he was on stage with his father, who was an actor. His mother was wealthy, and his father was an actor. And then he began to be in movies by the age of 10. So Bruce Lee was not, we had this misconception, or I did, that Bruce Lee was a martial arts expert who got into movies. That's true here in the United States, but he actually was a movie star before he was the age of 15, he had done several movies. The reason he got into martial arts was he was a jerk. He was privileged. He was one of the things that there, when we say opera here, we know what we think. European opera, Chinese opera, which I've been to the opera house in Beijing and been to a couple of different operas there. It always includes singing, yes, but also acrobatics, dancing, a lot of times mask changing. That's one of the coolest things. If you get a chance, look that up on YouTube. Someone will be wearing a Chinese mask, wave their hand, and the mask will change, or they'll look at you and blink their eyes, and the mask will change into a completely different mask. No idea how they do it, but absolutely amazing. So Chinese opera is much more like the circus, and Bruce began to participate in doing gymnastics, et cetera, et cetera. However, his cockiness got him into trouble because he would literally go out and pick fights with people, older people. He would bump into the person, and the person would say, "Excuse me," and then he would accuse the other person of having started it, and then he would pummel the person. He would beat them. So my super positive image of Bruce Lee is tainted, knowing that he was a thug as a teenager. He got into martial arts simply because people started to fight him back, and he wanted to be able to fight at a higher level. He studied all kinds of martial arts. The other thing, by the way, which I'll bet you didn't know, was he was an expert cha-cha dancer. Back when the cha-cha was a really big thing in the 1950s and early 60s, he was an expert cha-cha dancer. Bruce struggled with the same thing I struggled with a lot. Most people, I think, everyone to some extent struggles with this. And that is getting angry or upset when in a stressful situation. And the book goes into some of his early fights. He would fight in basically a field with people around him betting on whether or not he would do it. These would be bare knuckle brawls. And as they tell the stories of this, they talk about how Bruce would get into the fight and he would have superior technique, but his anger would take over. The person would actually land one. They would slap him, hit him, whatever, and Bruce would just lose it. And in his anger of losing it, he would sometimes lose the fights. Not many, but he certainly wouldn't perform at the level that he would have liked. I remember one time I was writing some posts for Facebook, and it occurred to me the truth, and that is that once you've lost your temper, you've lost. It's an easy thing to say, very pithy, very cute, but it's also very, very true. And our temper is ours to lose. Earl Nightingale said that you can tell the measure of a he would have said man back then, but you could tell the measure of a man by the size of things that upset him. In other words, a person who is upset by little things is a person without much character, much strength, much, you know where I'm going with this. So that idea of not losing it, and yet Bruce Lee struggled with whenever he would get into a fight, if someone tagged him really, really hard, he would get angry. His anger would just flood his body and override his mind. Mike Tyson, one of the greatest boxers of all time, put it very similarly. He said that everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. I've always loved that. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Well, one of the styles of fighting that Bruce Lee trained in was a style where you would get very, very close with someone. In fact, you would touch elbows with that person. So imagine you're standing this close and you're touching elbows with this person. So they're now what? 10 inches, 12 inches, their hands are anyway, and maybe 20 inches for their face. And then what you would do is, while keeping your elbows touching, you would try and slap the other person or block them from slapping you. And Bruce Lee was studying this from a master. Now, mind you, you're just constantly being slapped and you're slapping the other person. And he noticed that he would feel himself starting to get upset. He could actually feel that feeling of getting upset starting. And he would then begin to make a decision not to allow it to go any further, the feeling to get any more. And he would not allow it to overtake his nervous system. He would just endure the pain. He would say, I know I'm going to be slapped. This person is supposed to slap me. He totally switched around how he began to look at things. And then when it happened, he didn't take it personally. He didn't get so upset. And it was a choice that he made. And he said that that was the thing that changed his life as a martial artist. That when he got into a ring, when someone would really, really tag him or hit him, his goal was to, in his mind, reframe that. That's where it has to happen. He would reframe and congratulate the person for landing a good blow. He would find some way of not getting, or he would tell himself, I'm going to be more prepared for that, not let that happen. But it was never, you son of a, you know what I mean? It's not that. I remember one time I was doing a talk in church on anger, and I looked up the word anger, and the definition I found at the time, and I don't remember where I got it, was through an online, something like Wikipedia or could have been dictionary, but I do remember the definition, and the definition was anger is defined as the emotion, sorry, let's try that again, take two. Emotion, anger is the emotion associated with the fear of death. What? Anger is the emotion associated with the fear of death. In other words, anger is absolutely appropriate if we feel that something is going to kill us. To react in absolute anger. The second part of that definition was, and this is take this in too. So anger is the emotion associated with the fear of death. And the second definition was, an ahabitual emotion in some people. In other words, anger is just a habit. It's a habit. It's also something that we've seen playing out. Staying calm when slapped down by life and then beginning, that's not to say you have to quell. And when things are really, really bad, you should emote. You should feel your emotions. You should be sad. You should be angry. You should whatever. I'm not telling you. What I'm telling you is that our modern society loves pissed off people because it's an easy way to manipulate people. If you're angry, I can get you to do something a heck of a lot easier than I can by trying to convince you or trying to appeal to your other emotions. Anger motivates. I want to invite you today to realize that life's going to slap you in little and big ways, little and big ways. I remember the other day I shot two speeches here in my studio for two different clients and got to the end, edited them all together, mixed music and everything. My degree's in broadcasting, so I love doing that little part of editing. And it doesn't take me long, half hour maybe, more like 15 minutes. Anyway, I made a slight mistake in one of the things and there was a glitch. However, I had not saved my work, and because I did not save my work, I had to go back and recreate it. And at first, I felt this anger coming up at me, which is a continuation of my father's anger coming up at me. And then I realized, who needs to be understood right now? Who needs to be appreciated right now? The guy who just made a mistake? Who is that? Me. So maybe instead of getting upset with me, which is not going to prevent me from making these mistakes in the future, simply just going, okay, I've been slapped in the face. Typically, by the way, when we get slapped in the face, we're the ones doing the slapping. Just consider that. So do your best to realize where your emotional responses are. Are they here? Are they way up here? And consider that they might be able to be down here. And I don't mean pushing them down. I mean discounting them, putting them into the grand scheme of things. That whole idea of I was sad because I had no shoes until I saw a man who had no feet, right? My mom loved that one. Contextualizing it and saying it's not as bad as whatever. Those are things that will help us when life slaps us.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high. Plain.